Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon.
This is Tony Williams.
And Chauncey Williams with What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success.
Speaking of financial success, I think there was a few of those guys that in the NBA that were capitalized on financial success this week.
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely. We got Mike Conley with the never been an all-star before. 5 years, $150 million, I think.
Mike Conley.
One of the best point guards in the NBA. He's the throwback point guard. I call him the point guard where you throw it in the post. Okay. He know how to make the first available pass, or he can stick that jump shot, or he know how to penetrate off those post players. And you don't have point guards like that no more. So no. That's why he got the money, and he's the reason why Zebo and Marc Gasol is so successful.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, that's the league has justified giving him the money. But he does earn more than the two-time MVP of the league. How about that?
Yeah. Hey, Memphis, yeah. Beale Street is doing it big.
Well.
I hope Didi can land in a contract like that then.
Ultimately, they're going to raise the salary cap again next year. And the CBA in basketball basically says, here are X amount of dollars owners that you will distribute to the players. And that's what's forcing the NBA to pay these kind of contracts. But trust me, the money is there.
Yeah, it's the ripoff from the 80s. Just think about the guys in the 80s.
Right.
Like Michael Jordan only made, or Magic's contract was like $1 million a year for 30 years.
Yeah, it sounded like a lot of money back then. But in today's numbers, it's not as much as some of these marginal players are getting. And this whole landscape changed back when owners had total control of players, player personnel, and players didn't have the ability to move to teams after a contract was up. And that's why guys stayed with teams most of their career, because the mobility wasn't there until it was challenged by Curt Flood of the Chicago Cubs. Actually went to court and won, saying that players have the right, after they fulfill their contract, to seek other contracts in the league.
So the thing that everybody be saying, oh, back in the day, he stayed on the team his whole career.
Right.
They really ain't had no choice.
Nope.
They had to stay there.
The owners had total control.
That's why. So Isaiah Thomas could have been bolded.
Yeah.
Joe Dumars could have been bolded. So like when we look at players like a Magic could have been like, I'm out of here. So the only true player that you could say that stayed was a Kobe right now in this day and age. So everybody else left because they had the right to. So you can't look at it. It's all the business decision. Everything
is
business. Big business just changed. That's what has happened.
And, you know, the owners don't make all the money like they used to. I mean, yeah, they got a big stake in it. But at the end of the day, the players are the ones that fill the seats.
Yeah.
And I think it's like 51% to the owners, 49% to the players that has to be distributed. And I think the TV contract with the NBA.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It's like billions, man.
Because the social media is involved, too. They got the social media involved with that money. So it's unbelievable. But then getting to the big the big name that they signed is Kevin Durant for the
KD.
$54 million. 2 years.
$54 million.
Two years.
And he gets to renegotiate with the new salary cap after that. I got a 1 year option. He can actually opt out next year, depending on how it works out.
So if he want to come back, he can come back if he want to.
If somebody willing to pay him more money. And that's great. I mean, these guys have set themselves up.
For business savvy. They got the business savvy.
For financial independence for their children's children's children, if they manage this money right.
That's right. And that's the real game.
Yeah.
Everybody, he said he want to get a ring. You know, I think Golden State offers the most money.
And, you know,
so he took it. So, yeah. OKC didn't offer the most money. Golden State offered the most money.
Market. Okay.
Yeah, because their market is bigger than theirs. And when you look at OKC, OKC is a rich city, but it's a new city, and it's all they got. That's all they got. It's like a city like – they're probably smaller than Grand Rapids.
Yeah, I don't know what the population is, but, right, when you think about the sports teams, you know, when you look at, like, in the California market, you know, the number of basketball teams that they have, the state of Texas, the baseball teams, basketball teams, football.
Colleges in that area.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and then you go to Oklahoma, and that's it.
That's it.
You know, you think about states like Alabama. There's no pro teams in Alabama.
Mississippi.
The markets are too small to support them. So when you go to these other markets in the L.A., the Chicago's, New York, the Texas, there's a lot more money you can make outside of basketball.
And that's the difference. That's why I think KD jumped for that. He saw that market in Golden State being in Cali.
Yeah, and he gave him 9 good years. So I don't think anybody in Oklahoma should complain about KD taking care of his family and his family's family for the rest of their lives.
It's just the only thing that gets me is this, like, the decision is to go there. It's like they just put you out the playoffs and you had them on the ropes.
Yeah.
And now you have to come back. And then, like, you be sitting on the bench one time, you can be seeing them highlights of you getting cooked last year.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that's going to be in film sessions.
Yeah. Like, this was last year. This is how we cooked OKC. This is how we guarded Kevin Durant. He's looking like, man, that's me up there.
Yeah, 3-1. We had him 3-1.
Yeah.
And he lost it.
You know,
so, but it's about the pitch. You know, when Golden State got ready to pitch the guy, they brought in their players.
Yeah, but I already know who they got, though. The general manager is the one, the legendary Jerry West. That's on the NBA logo.
Right.
Him and Pat Riley, they know how to make you stay.
Yeah.
They know how to make you come.
Yeah. Yeah, they, you know, Pat had it for a while. But now the torch has passed to West.
Yeah, Jerry West.
And he has pulled it off. And I guess, you know, this is what I'm hearing on Sports Talk is that's what sealed the deal, the conversation that he had with Jerry West after he had talked to some other guys. So, hey, it's going to be really interesting because the numbers in Vegas have already moved. You know, they do the futures as far as who has the best team, the best opportunity to win NBA championship next year, and they've almost just said, hey, give it to Golden State based on this last contract with KD. But I still think folks in Cleveland might have something to say about that.
Yeah, I know. And D-Wade is thinking and waiting. I say,
yeah.
Like, I think about it. Like, people say, oh, God, Kevin Durant, do it. I remember back in the day when I was a kid, Bob McAdoo, that name. He was the leading scorer, like an MVP or something, and he left his team. And
in Buffalo. Yep. He was in a small market in Buffalo.
And he left. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Was
with
Oscar Roberts.
Oscar Roberts.
Milwaukee, a small market. He left. He went to be with the Dream. He went to be with the legendary Magic. Magic's rookie year was spent with Kareem.
Right. You know, and Kareem was like, hey, man, don't get so excited. It's only one game, you know.
Yeah.
We got a long season.
I'm gonna be like this every game.
Yeah, I just love this game. Yeah. So yeah, there's a lot of marquee players moved. You know, after the CBA got involved, and you know, asked that these guys get paid a portion of these TV proceeds.
Yes.
And rightfully so. We definitely have heard of the horror stories of players coming into the league and not really prepared. Get involved with drugs, alcohol, gangs, whatever, and wind up, you know, not.
It just happened to a guy. They call him O.J. Mayo, but they call him O.J. Yayo.
Right. I seen that.
From Milwaukee. And, you know, Milwaukee, they're a harbor town, so the boats can come in, all type of stuff. So he didn't pass a drug test. I don't think he wasn't even marijuana.
And he was like, was it 3 strikes?
Yeah.
It wasn't like this was his first time.
He out of there. He got to miss 2 years in the NBA.
And then he has to come back and petition to get into the league.
He might be done.
He might go overseas.
Because he's 10 years in already. They're probably like, man, just.
Well, yeah, 10 years. And if you're not really have made the most of your career.
He was good. He's already averaged 16 points. But then you a head case. So it's like, get out of here. You're out of here.
Yeah. I mean,
man, what are you like? You know, you're paying. You know, you probably bought your mama a house and you did things like that. That's why I was reading the scripture the other day. I wrote a scripture on something. Somebody said, write a scripture down. And the first thing came to my mind was Malachi 3:11. I was like, why did that come to my mind?
Okay.
And it said, in the abundance, don't let the fruit drop unless it's ripe. It goes something like that.
Okay.
And I was just like, that's what it means. God don't bless me till I'm ripe.
That's right.
Don't give me all this money and all this fruit and all these good things unless my mind is right in the capacity where I will serve you with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of these guys getting blessed, and they making it look bad, man.
They're making it bad, man, you know. And there's no reason that these guys should go broke. I had an opportunity to talk to a player, Corvin. His dad used to coach for the University of Michigan. I was up there this weekend.
Okay.
And he coached at New England. And he's probably about 45, 50. And I was talking to him about coming back, getting into coaching and whatever. He said, I'm a stay-at-home dad. He said, I took care of my money. I didn't squander
it. All he do is go to camps. That's all he do is hang out.
And don't do much of that. He said he take care of his family, man. He just want to be around his family. Because the grind of the NFL for the years that he was involved did have him away. But really, really impressionable guy. But I get where he's coming from. You know, he took care of his money financially, and this is how he's giving back to his children for the times when he was on the road traveling with the football team. So that's great. You know, that's one of the stories that we need to hear more of about athletes or coaches that are fortunate enough to be in the pro level, take care of their money, live, you know, within your means, and at some point in time in your life, you can step away and not be stressed financially.
Okay. Yeah. So I just wanted to share with that with the audience, just talking, because that's big business.
Oh, yeah. It's about finances.
Yeah. We spend a lot of money and a lot of dollars and everything, and just thinking about that. I know today's show, we're going to talk about, I know we've been doing credit restoration and moving forward and pulling your credit report, ordering your credit report. And today I was just like, well, it's time to start showing people how to go through and dispute their credit report items on it that are outdated or erroneous, that's in your file that you like, how can I get help? And then a lot of times people can't afford the services that I usually provide. So I said, let me try to get them some golden nuggets today.
Mm-hmm.
With your support and how to build that. And I just had a testimony. One of my friends, I remember talking to her about a year ago. I was in Grand Rapids in my car too when she called me in to Carl Stone. And she said, it's time for me to start shopping. Thank you, Chauncey. My quality of life has greatly increased right along with my credit score. Won't God do it? What a difference a year makes. And she got a picture of from Quicken Loans, a pre-approval letter.
All right.
So then this is somebody that did all the programs. She bought the book. She did everything. But the thing is, she listened to me probably talk for like a whole hour about the turmoil that I faced after having financial disaster and saying that I created this system that it took me 5 years to dig out of.
Okay.
And I told her it's going to take a year. And she probably was like, she couldn't believe it, but she trusted my words. And now she's moving forward. She done relocated and everything. And just, I just like getting stories like that. That's why, man, I'm on social media, man. And that's why I keep on trying to pour on the people and just try to share with them. That's what I'm going to give out today.
That's a great, great story. And I just wish we could get more people to share with us some of the successes that they may have experienced through the work that you've done.
That we have done. Right.
Yeah.
You're doing some things, too. I work with people that you have helped. You actually helped me in my own business. So I just look back, like, over not even 6 months, you was telling me something. Like, you got to get to a certain point, Chauncey.
So, oh, yeah. It's a process. It's just like we're talking about with the credit restoration or dispute. You have to take that first step, and you have to be committed to the process.
Committed to the process. So I'm going to share those nuggets with them today. It's talking about under the Fair Credit Reporting Act, and that's the law that they have. And it says that, like, each state has a certain set of limitations on when you can dispute something. But I know in Michigan, you got 30 days before they can respond.
Okay.
So when you have put in a reinvestigation, an investigation of your credit report, they got 30 days to respond, and then they got to do that within those 30 days. They got to send you something back within that. It's like they got a 5 to 10 day evaluation period when they get it. So then you should get it back in those 30 days. If not, it can be removed from your credit file, but they still could probably go through your credit report. So I just wanted to go into that process today because there's so many people out there that a lot of times they're like, yeah, trying to check out my credit report because you look at it. I look at it, and I see several items on their credit report, like, and it fall under these categories. I'm going to share with you. I'm like, and it's something I did years ago for myself, not even knowing. And they fall under these categories. Like, they might have something like, here's an example. Like, something that somebody's married. I was divorced, and now I'm married to a different person. And you look at it and say they had something on their credit report that was incorrect.
Okay.
So, like, you could be married to somebody, and your spouse could have got it, but because you married to them. You share that credit. But then you get a divorce, and then you're not part of that person. It's on their social security number, but you tied to it. You didn't even co-sign. But y'all had that merged credit file. So a lot of times when people get credit, they have, when they get married, they try to merge their credit reports. Yep. So that happens. So then this is an example where somebody had to dispute that. Like, that's not mine. Mm-hmm. So then it's people walking around into the day like they in divorce, and they like, I'm not with him no more. That's still on my credit report. Or another case is like having a deceased parent and you the junior.
Oh, yeah.
And your daddy had all these debts, and now they put them in your name. Mm-hmm. But you only have the same Social Security number, but they got you on the file.
Well, they want you to take the steps to clean it up to prove that it's not you.
Yeah, that's right, because they got to go after the debt.
Yeah.
So it's just things like that are not mine. So it's incorrect, are not mine, and then another incorrect count, big bank MasterCard discharged in bankruptcy. The balance was owed was zero, and it's saying that incorrect account. So it could have been in bankruptcy, but then they got it discharged in bankruptcy, but then they got it listed as another company holding it, then another collection company holding it. Wow. So they got it under bankruptcy, they got it under the company holding it, and they got another company they tried to sell it to, all on that credit report. So sometimes when people go through the death sentence, when I call like a bankruptcy, chapter 7, chapter 13, I call it the death sentence, they think it's really over. But like after your debts are discharged, Tony, you can still fight them debts that's on there. That's discharged. Because they're discharged, and the people that's holding the paperwork is downtown.
Okay.
The court system holding it. Those debts are there. That's a clerk looking at that now.
Mm-hmm.
So then those are debts you can actually dispute now.
Got to challenge them.
You got to challenge
them. Just can't ignore them. They won't go away.
And they can be possibly deleted from your credit file. Here's another example. It says inquiries are not authorized. And these are ones when, you know, and you said that you talked about it a couple weeks, when someone could just they call you and they just send you a credit card, pre-qualified something. And you're like, how I get this credit card? Or how I get this? How I get pre-approved? And then what they did was you clicked on something on your phone, or you did something, and then they somehow got your information, and now they applied for something, and then it shows an inquiry on your credit report.
Mm-hmm.
So then that lowered your score too. So then you got to fight them things also.
Yep, they got just enough information to go ahead and process that credit card as pre-approval. And like you say, if you don't stop them and dispute it, then it's going to be a part of your credit report.
Now, here's an example right here with the credit card. It says, my credit report, other incorrect information. My credit report states that I filed a Chapter 13 bankruptcy on July 23rd, 19 blank. That is not correct. In fact, I filed a Chapter 7 case and received the discharge of my debts on October 19th. So as you can see, there's good descriptions.
Mm-hmm.
But see, when you file a bankruptcy or something, a clerk puts that in, not an accountant, not a tax person, not a credit reporting agency. Somebody from downtown, a clerk actually puts that information in. So they can put that information in wrong.
That might have had a bad day.
Yes. Somebody might have come down to the courtroom cussing them out.
Clowning.
So you got a right to dispute that, because the Chapter 7 and Chapter 13 is is a big difference in the two of them. One of them is a payment plan. One of them is a death sentence. So you got to look at that. American Express account is listed twice. One is listed in, indicates that the account was discharged in bankruptcy. That is correct. The other listed it shows that the account is with a Tenacious Collection Services. And furthermore, this is a missing the date of the delinquency. So it's two dates that's on there. Like when you get a credit card, you open it.
Okay.
And then when the last time that they count, that they can collect on it. I think we talked about the statute of limitations.
Statute of limitations.
So when that, a lot of times those dates are not on there. I've seen somebody have a credit card that was open, and then at the end, they say, I was like, what is the last time you used it? Oh, they ain't on there. I'm like, they got to report that.
Okay. Yeah.
Because that gives you time in the statute of limitations, depending on what kind of debt it is, then it could be going off your credit report. So that's just information that people need to know. But I just have some instructions on it. First thing is send your letter to an address provided by the credit bureau for disputing information. So that's the first thing. But see, we're in the day and age where you can go online and you can fight your actual credit reports on going online and putting your information in.
Mm-hmm. Experian.
So, yep. You can Experian, TransUnion, Equifax. You can go online to those actual websites and you can dispute these items. And so if you need help or anything, I got a form that you can actually get. I prefer that if you get it from me, if you call me, I can get it to you, email it to you, share it with you. And you can use the form free of charge. I just want to help people out, because I know that, like you said earlier, Tony, it's about getting them the first step.
First step in the process.
First step making the process. So if I can get you to a certain point, and then I know if I have a program that can help you and you can't afford it, I want to still be able to say, hey, I still got something that I can help you. So I have these actual forms that I did for myself a long time ago, till I got to a certain point where I was like, well, I got to pay somebody to do a service. So then once I got to a certain extent in my credit restoration process, when I removed the items that I know that I could have fought myself,
okay,
and boost my score good enough, that helped me out a lot. So that's a form. Then it says, secondly, complete its investigation within 30 days of receiving the complaint. Then it says, contact the creditor reporting the information you dispute within 5 days of receiving your dispute. Review and consider all relevant information submitted by you. Remove all inaccurate and unverified information. Adopt procedures to keep the information from reappearing. And then you are notified within 5 days of the reinsertion. So they got to put it back on your credit report.
Okay.
If they correct it, they say, all right, we're going to delete this one, but we're going to put it back on your credit report with the right date. They can possibly do that too, but they have to do it by law though.
Okay.
The Fair Credit Reporting Act says that, and you have to be able to treat consumers the right way. So the 5 days of completion, including a new credit report. So you'll get a free new credit report. I remember, it's the funny thing about this, I remember doing this some years ago, and when I did it, I was dating a young lady. And she was like, you can't do that in your credit report. You're reading some book. You think you know what you're doing. It was like in about 2001 when I graduated from college, because I tried to buy a car. I wanted a Ford Mustang, a 5.0.
Oh, okay.
You know, it was in like 2001, but the 5.0 was like a 96 or 97 or something. It was nice.
Get up and go.
Yeah, I wanted that. I was in Detroit. I was on Jefferson. That's a secondhand dealership, used dealership. And when I was there, I met a guy. He's my accountant to this day. And I met him. I said, I want this car. It was black. It had the wheels on it. It was hard top with the sunroof. I said, I want this. I test drive it all down Jefferson. I'm flying. Uh-huh. He said, let's pull your credit report, gentlemen, young man. Man, my credit score was like 440.
they were surprised you even got a test drive. Yeah. Yours are so low. Yeah. No, you don't even get a test drive.
So he didn't let me drive it. So I was just like, I said, what could I do? He said, man, you don't have no credit. But then you got the credit you got on us bad. You got these credit cards. You got like 30 student loans. You need to do something about those. So like, I'm going through all this process. And then he was an accountant too. He's my accountant to this day. He set me down and showed me this process.
Okay.
He gave me some literature and everything, and he broke me down. And when he broke me down, I haven't turned away from that business to this day. I'm still doing it, still helping people, and it's just going back and looking over that. It just helps you see that. It took me, and even in my literature that I have, it says, if the credit bureau responds to that credit reporting is verified accuracy, the information will remain in your credit file. You will need to take more aggressive action to clean up your credit reports. That's when you need a service to step in. But then what I've noticed is, even in my literature that I have today, it says 32 weeks. That's almost a whole year. So are you willing to do the due diligence for a whole year to stay on top of it? And then we talking about old school, Tony, and you said it before we started talking. You was like, look, Charles, we not only had the internet back in 2001.
Nope.
Everything was done by what?
Envelope, paper.
Envelope. You had to write the letter, type the letter, certified mail, send it in, wait.
For
wait,
the response.
Wait. Yep. Then they'll come back with some stipulations. So then you had to know the laws, the code to write, whatever code you can write. I had all the information. Yeah. I had the codes and everything. I'm sending that back with the statements, showing and proving it. And then when it started coming back, my credit report started coming back in the mail. It was like, this been deleted. And see, now everything's done automated. So I'm able to see it in a screenshot on the computer. But I remember getting my credit reports back and saying, this deleted. This off, that off. I'm like,
I thought
I pulled a rabbit out of the hat. I did, man. That was like one of the happiest days of my life. But then it's a book I've been reading, and I be arguing with this guy on the internet. He be responding to me, John Hope Bryant. He worked for Bill Clinton, everything. We be arguing, but it be like in a positive way. I went off on him today and said, man, I bought both of your books, man. And he had some Lung Yeti talking last night, and he was saying that he helped her. And she got an internship from him. I was like, oh, well, she got an internship. Somebody worked for the president. She going to do well in life.
Okay.
So then he's like, oh, that's not right, Chauncey. That's not true. I said, that is true.
Yes, it is.
I say, based on who you know, with the education you have, you can progress. I would have never got into the credit repair industry. I wouldn't even be, it wouldn't be no, what do I do now? It wouldn't be none of those things if I didn't meet my mentor to show me how to build my credit history.
Right.
So it wouldn't have been no book. It wouldn't have been anything. Through tragedy, I was introduced to somebody, and I was willing to listen mm-hmm. at that time and that moment and do the due diligence. And that's why we're trying to reach to our audience and our community here at large, that even going back to John O'Brien, he talks about if you increase, he said you increase their self-esteem, somebody's self-esteem, self-worth, that means having a knowledge of God and yourself, love for yourself and others. And then he said, the most important one, he said, I always pay attention, he says, if you can increase your credit score by 100,
okay,
your whole life will change. Your surroundings will change. So like when that girl wrote that tagged me to that message, I thought about what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, my whole environment has changed because I listened to you.
Yeah.
But that's the whole thing of mentorship, like sitting here with you, gleaning from you, you helping me in business, and the different people that I have is helping move my career along, but it's also helping people that I'm helping.
Others.
And that's what it's all about. It's not about it's not about the materialistic things that we have. It's not about I did it, I got the house, I got the car. I ain't gonna tell you how I got it from, what dealership I got it at, what interest rate. No, I'm gonna tell you everything, because even though it's a financial or a material thing, it's a testimony in itself for somebody else to say, how you do that?
Okay. That's right.
How did you do that? Like, let me tell you, here's the plan. This is what I did.
Financial independence, man. Yeah.
And we have to get to the point where we get our whole community to stand up and see that.
Yeah, it doesn't take a genius to be a consumer.
No, right? You can blow money fast.
We talked about how, you know, we watch folks blow money, and until you as an individual decide that your lifestyle is not going to be displayed openly to try to impress others, then you're going to subject some of the pitfalls that we're talking about. Okay, the power is in your financial stability. That's how you become successful in life.
That's how you become successful. So under the Fair Credit Reporting Act, creditors who report information to credit bureaus are obligated to do the following. So here, this is somebody that's right now that want to do their own credit restoration. And they low on funds, and it's hard, they're in transition between jobs, and they can't do the programs that I provide. So this is what the credit bureau is supposed to be able to do for you based on the law. Refrain from reporting information they know that is it's incorrect. So as soon as if you bring it to their attention that it's wrong, and they got the system, and they got the automated system, they got the computer, they got all that information, they could be able to check, do they do diligence? Because sometimes computers miss things. And when you point it out, they got to remove it. Refrain from ignoring information they know that contradicts what they have on file. That means those three credit cards that don't make sense, and they're the same credit card that's lowering your score body like 80 points because it's showing up negative three times.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to remove that. The third thing is refrain from reporting incorrect information when they learn that the information is and in fact incorrect. Okay. That's why they got that 30-day window. But that's not set up by them. That's set up by the Fair Credit Reporting Act. That's not set up by the credit bureaus.
No, like it's Consumer Watchdog Agency.
Yeah, the police. The credit police.
Credit the popo.
Yep, somebody to protect you. Yeah. You got somebody to protect you. Provide credit bureaus with correct information when they learn that the information that they have reporting is incorrect. I've noticed this. I've even done this. Like when I had a situation with a credit bureau that want to do something,
mm-hmm.
I contacted the company that had the actual credit card. Okay. I got the old records, went back, did my due diligence, found the account number, everything. And then I told them, I was like, I need y'all to send me a letter so I can get one of these credit bureaus to deal with this the right way.
Okay.
And it took a lot of hard work and time. They act like they didn't have it no more. They said they sold it here. They sold it there. They did this. They did that. I'm like, then I finally got a hold of it. And what you have to do is you got to hold on to them documents.
Okay.
Because if you don't, you can't have it. So what I have on file is I have them on my Google Drive. I have a lot of things that I had removed from my credit report and files, screenshots and documents.
Paper
documents.
Trail.
I got paper trail. So, because when you apply for things, audience, when you buy something new like a car or a home or something, they're going to ask you about your financial history. It's going to, you know, pull your credit report, say if you get some things deleted, it's some items that ain't going to come off one credit report. But you might be to the process like, man, this credit report got like a 750 score. I'm ready here. But this other one might say 677. And you're like, well, I got these old items on here, but I got proof that it came off the other one. So if you got that proof, you could deal with that. That proof will help them speed the process up for you. And that's one of those strategies I was talking about. Notify credit bureaus when you dispute information. That goes into the 30-day. Note when the accounts are closed by the consumer. Now, we talked about that earlier. Like, those closed accounts starts the statute of limitations when it's deleted, when it should be deleted. So if you just got an account on there, even if it was bad, it's going to still affect you. Provide credit bureaus with a month and a year of delinquency of all accounts placed for collections, charged off, or similarly treated. Finish their investigation of your dispute within 30-day or 45-day period, and the credit bureau must complete the incident investigation. That means that they got 30 days, 30 to 45 days to respond. If they don't respond, it's deleted off your credit report. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be gone forever, but in most cases, I'm going to say this again, in most cases, audience, it'll be gone. But if it's not gone, I call it ghosting. They'll put it back on, but it'll be the correct information. But what you can do after that is you can add a 100-word statement to your credit file online, or you can say, look, can you add this to that? Because I was divorced at that time, or this, and put that word in there. But that's still not going to get you the best treatment. Mm-hmm. So you might go a step further where you have to call me in, and we can get you into a service or a program. But that'll cut the time down for you if you do these things for yourself first. I did, like Chance said, I did everything in my power. I got a couple things taken on my credit report, but these one items, I can't do nothing about it. I'm ready to spend some money and get into a program. So that's what I want to do. I want to be able to hold your hand for free first, mm-hmm. and then see if I can, whatever I can do and what I can provide for you here by giving this information to you today. So you can give me, tag me to another message, somebody. I like that. That makes me keep on pushing, because I know that my network is the network that the people that I'm helping and not trying to outshine. So
no, help. You know, you gotta help others, man. Got to.
That's what it's all about. So this is on my heart today, Tony, to share this and just
good information, huh?
Because I always get people. I get people always call me and say, I'm ready. I want to do a credit restoration program. And I say, all right, it costs this much. They're like, well, I can't afford that right now. But then I think about the things that they have and the parties they go to and the things that they're doing. I'm like, well, maybe if you sit down and just do what we talked about.
The budget.
There you go. Say that word.
The budget.
Stop cussing at me, Tony.
The budget.
We can't use that kind of language. PA, they're not going to sign off on that language, man. They said some of the views. And some of the things that people say on the radio, they don't support.
Right. That's right. That's what they say.
So,
but yeah, you're absolutely right, man. The budget. That's what you got to look at.
Man.
And, you know, you're willing to help folks at a reduced or free compensation, man. Folks should take advantage of it. Reach out, touch him. Give him, you know, shoot him a Facebook look. Let him know that you need help. That's what we're here for.
That's what we're here for. Like insurance needs. Tony's here. Because you're going to need that. You're going to need life insurance. So, look, think about it. Think about this right here. Paint this picture for yourself. Get to a point where you don't owe nobody nothing. You got life insurance. You got a pension. You're saving for retirement. And you got a great credit report.
Life is good.
That's my goal for myself.
Life is good.
Live a debt-free life. Be able to have great life insurance, good pension. And say, hey, my credit score is this.
Mm-hmm.
And not have to go up and buy everything. Just say, hey, I'm good where I need to be at. And now I can help other people and focus on bringing my community up. So that's my goal. And I want that to be for the goal for everybody I'm involved with.
That's a good goal. So, all right. I am Tony Williams.
And I'm Chauncey Williams. This is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat. Thank you.